The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
The state spent 1.1 billion euro in 2022 on defence, and then committed, the government committed, to increase this to 1.5 billion by 2028. But writing in yesterday's Sunday Independent, the Minister of State with responsibility for EU affairs and defence said the government needs to increase that quite dramatically. Jennifer Carol McNeill, how much money do you believe the state needs to spend on defence and why?
I think that we have seen a very changed global landscape and European landscape in the 2 years since the Commission on the Defence Forces report was published. There have been a number of the escalating war in Ukraine, very serious cyber and hybrid war attacks right across Europe, and I believe that Ireland needs to move to the level 3 ambition, which is getting to a figure closer to 3 billion euros. I'm not saying we need to do it next year, but I'm saying that we need to set a vision and a realistic assessment of what the state's security needs are now and are going to need to be, and that we need to have that national conversation moving towards a figure of closer to 3 billion to be able to implement level 3 and give the defence forces both the numbers in terms of military personnel and also the equipment that they need to provide a sovereign defence of our sovereign territory in a capable and effective way.
Well, how many more numbers and what sort of equipment and how much, how would you fund that?
We're at about 7,500 at the moment. That is woefully, critically too low. We are trying to move to 900 recruits every year, but we are going to need to get to a figure of 9,000 and closer to 11 and 12,000 over the next number of years. Now, we need to do that in a credible way. I'm clearly not saying that we can do that next year, but I'm trying to set the level of ambition. The Commission on the Defence Forces says that we will need 12 ships, that we will need a number of combat aircraft, and it goes through it in exceptional detail.
To do what? What would our combat aircraft do?
What we needed is A, to monitor our own areas in a better, more capable way, but also to be able to respond to external threats such as they may be increasing over time. Now, we are already aware of threats to critical infrastructure. There have been destruction of the Baltic Interconnector, the Nord Stream pipelines. We are aware of attacks on critical infrastructure in other countries, on energy installations, for example, not just in Ukraine, but on incursions into territory in Lithuania, the Baltic Sea. There are a number of different disruptions to cyber, and this impacts Ireland as much as it impacts other places. And the risk is there, and we can see the risk. We see it in our own sovereign analysis, but we also see it from the increased analysis at a European level of what's happening, both to our European partners and, of course, in Ukraine. And I think we need to have a serious, reflective conversation about where we need to move over the next 5, 10 and 15 years as the risk environment changes around us.
McBarry, given that at times in the past we've only had one active naval ship available to us, sometimes just two, and given that we need to protect our waters against drug smugglers and against those who might be involved in trying to sabotage undersea cables, would this not be a worthwhile investment to make?
Well, it's a hell of a jump, Matt, to go from one or two naval vessels to getting 12 new ones. And to throw in some combat aircraft.
And why not?
On top of that. Well, there are many reasons why not, but I'll give you one, the one I'll kick off with. If you're going to spend 3 billion, which is double the current target, which is the biggest increase in defence spending in the history of the state, you have to be able to say what I think Jennifer did not say in response to your question, and that is, how are you going to pay for it? All right. Because if you shift money towards defence, it makes sense that you take it from somewhere else, unless you're into, you know, massive borrowing or something of that kind. So what could you buy with the current 400 million increase in defence spending? You could hire 12,000 nurses. What could you do with the extra 1.5 billion that Jennifer is proposing? You could build, depending on whether you use Mary Lou's figures or not, 4,000 or 5,000 houses per annum each year. Now, I think, is it wiser to spend on nurses for the health service or houses in the middle of a housing crisis or combat aircraft and 12 new ships?
Do we have nothing to defend, or should we depend on others in NATO, such as the United Kingdom, to do our defence for us by running the aircraft in the skies to do the monitoring, to send the ships to intercept those who might do damage because we don't have any to do it for ourselves?
Yeah, what I'm saying is that if you're going to rise military spending to the point that we're able to engage, you know, eyeball to eyeball with the Russian military or the Chinese military or the US military, for that matter. If you're going to get into that kind of a league, you know, Ireland just isn't going to be able to do that. Far better for Ireland to say that the contribution that we make, right, is to speak out against the arms race that's underway throughout Europe at the moment, the militarisation that's underway throughout Europe at the moment, rather than join in and be part of it.
So how do you defend our national assets? Do you get others to do it for us?
There is an army, there is a defence force, there is a naval service.
And is it adequately resourced?
There is an increase of nearly €500 million going into that at the moment. I think it's important that a big part of that goes towards increased pay and getting rid of the scourge of low pay in the defence forces, because that's the biggest problem that the defence forces has. It can't recruit, or when it does recruit, it doesn't retain. So decent pay for the defence forces, I think that's a very important issue. But that's a
different... what about equipment?
Well, I mean, obviously, you're not going to just...
There was a time, you know, when we used to have reserves carrying around Hurleys rather than guns and doing their drills with Hurleys. Do we want to go back? But Jennifer Carroll McMead, there is an important point that has been raised by McBarry there. You know, you have to make a choice in the allocation of resources. And if you move that money, extra money into defence, it does take money away from housing, from hiring nurses, hiring Gardaí, all sorts of people who can do things that are required here on the island.
We look at budgetary spending. We spend about €23 billion on health. That's increased from €15 billion, say, since 2015 when Leo Varadkar took over as health minister. What I'm suggesting is an extra €1.5 billion for defence. Now, look health. Look at what happens to health if there is a critical infrastructure attack, if there is a cyber attack or a critical infrastructure on our energy and our hospitals don't have energy to function. What I'm suggesting is necessary critical investment to protect everything else that we have in Ireland, including a functional health system. We are not, Mick makes out as though I'm trying to make us eye to eye with Russia. Nothing at all. We're not trying to be Russia. We're not trying to be the United States. We're not trying to be the United Kingdom or Belgium or Lithuania or anywhere else. We're trying to be Ireland. And we're talking about increasing spending in a pretty moderate way relative to all of those countries who spend somewhere between 2% and 7%. I'm talking about a moderate increase. Austria, which is a neutral country, spends about 0.8% of it, spends about €3 billion on defence. I'm talking about a very moderate increase that gives us the capacity to basically to not be humiliated, as you said, by Hurleys.
But how much do we depend at present on NATO members to secretly do things for us?
We have been in the fortunate position of enjoying a considerable peace dividend through the period of peace that the EU has enjoyed. But we are aware of the increasing risks. We are aware of those right across Europe.
But what I'm asking is, do the likes of the RAF provide services to us at present?
We are trying to cooperate ever more closely with like-minded countries. And so you will see that Ireland is participating, has an individually tailored partnership with NATO, particularly on critical undersea infrastructure. And it has since the beginning of 2024. So do the other neutral countries, Malta, Austria and Switzerland. We are very much in favour of an EU-NATO cooperation because we want to work with like-minded countries because we recognise a shared common threat across Europe. And so Ireland is already engaged in this way in cooperation with like-minded countries.
Mick Barry, if Donald Trump gets back into power in the United States, it could be that he will undermine and even gut NATO, the American contribution to it. What would we do then? Because the European Union is likely to have to spend more money on defence and require its members to cooperate on a further basis. Where would we be left then?
I don't think we're going to be left in a situation where we need to increase our defence spending from just over €1 billion to €3 billion. That is not a very moderate increase. That is a massive increase. It's the biggest increase in defence spending in the history of the state. Mm-hmm. This going to €1.5 billion. And what Jennifer is proposing,
do you not envisage any circumstances in which it might be necessary?
No, I think that what we have at the moment is we have an arms race taking place worldwide. It's in very much in Europe as well. We saw the recent announcement about US cruise missiles being sighted in Germany. There's already more...
So how is that relevant to us defending ourselves, our waters and whatever, from sabotage of undersea cables and the
because
like? Defending maybe if we build many big wind farms around the Atlantic and into the Irish Sea in the future. How is the arms race relevant to that?
Because, Matt, you have to look at the big picture of what is happening here. This is not an isolated Irish issue. This is part of a big picture where we see a new Cold War and we have a massive increases in arms expenditure. I give the example there of the US cruise missiles coming into Germany. Already last year, more being spent worldwide on weaponry than was the case in the last year of the Cold War, right? And Ireland has a choice. Do we join in with this militarization? Do we join in with this arms race? Or do we say no, as a country that's supposed to be neutral, do we speak out against military alliances and do we speak out against the arms race? That's the road we should go down, not joining in the arms race and the militarisation.
You know, I don't want to have to discuss this. I'd much rather talk about the development of offshore wind. I'd rather talk about literally anything else. But the failure of government to recognise and acknowledge this issue, the failure of us to try to put in steps to protect the Irish people, to protect the Irish energy assets, to protect Irish hospitals, would be such a glaring failure if anything were to happen in the future.
But that we must discuss this. It's a bit rich.
Excuse me. One second, Ricky.
It is important to say we want people to come into the Defence Forces. We want a modern, really capable, strong Defence Forces to protect our sovereign territory. We have increased starting salaries. It's really important to know that somebody coming out of school can earn 39,000 euros coming in and up to 42,000 very quickly within 3 years. A cadet coming in will earn 43,000 euros as their starting salary, up to 48,000 within 2 years, and we will put them through college. We will give them every support. Okay. We want great people coming into our Defence Forces.
What's rich is to listen to a minister who is a member of the Fine Gael party, who've been in government for 13 years, who failed to invest in basic computer systems in the HSE and left the HSE wide open for a cyber attack, then trying to use that as an argument for, in effect, tripling defence spending, which would come at a cost to housing and health. I'm not for that, and I suspect that a lot of your listeners wouldn't be either.
We leave it there. Thank you both very much.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.